Well, I want to thank the Lord tonight for salvation. That is one of the greatest gifts that mankind could ever have. It's fantastic to think that a God in heaven looks down on crippled people, but more than crippled, damaged by sin, twisted in their thinking, alienated, not just alienated, but a great gulf that's fixed. And man can't come back except for one who hung on Calvary. And that blood that we sang about this evening has tremendous power, not just to reach down to the lowest and pick up, but to keep. I'm so thankful for that. And I cling to His promises as a dying man, as a desperate man, because I know without Him, I can do nothing. But also know that with Him, all grace is abundant grace, is sufficient grace for all that we ever need. I want to think a little bit this evening about how great God is and His love for us. He wants you and I to be able to have great victories and happiness in life. He didn't save people to try to make their lives miserable. That wasn't His purpose at all. Excuse me, y'all. I've got kind of a crackle in my throat this evening. I hope you can deal with that. May cough some. But I'm interested in us knowing that there's a God who wants to help you and I to enjoy our life. He wants our marriages to be good. He wants us to have happiness in serving Him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Have you ever wondered what it was like? And it's almost certain that Jesus wasn't born this time of the year. But I'm glad we remember the great gift. Have you ever thought what it would have been like to be some shepherds out there on the hillside? Have you ever wondered what that must have been like? When maybe in your slumber, darkness, and all of a sudden this odd light began to, and a person was there. And there's something it affected. Put yourself in their shoes. Don't you think you'd be a little scared? Something, this is different. And the angel began to tell them something fantastic. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Think of that. These shepherds who were doing the best they could, these people who were dealing with life and sometimes not doing well with it, there was an angel came to them in their humble abode out there on the hillside and said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It's Christ the Lord." Oh, thank God for the great news. And while they were probably wondering, what does this is really strange. And I'm inclined to believe it, but this is really different. And then the heavens opened up. What that must have been that evening. And their faith grasped a hold of that. And I want you to know tonight the Savior came. And unto us tonight in this room, the Savior is yet active. still loves, still cares, and is able and very willing to take twisted people, damaged people, and give healing, give hope, give salvation. And if any man's in Christ, he's new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That means he's not the same person. And that is such a joy to know in my heart when I look back and have to and know that I'm the same person I was back then by the grace of God. Well, I would like to look over here into the scripture. I want to turn over into 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, where we'll want to be. But before we get there, I want us to think about the ingredients that it takes for us to be a successful Christian. Think about ingredients that makes us think a little bit perhaps about a recipe. You ever made biscuits? I don't know about you, maybe you don't, but I'm not talking about the kind you whop a can on the edge of a counter either. I made biscuits. But you know, if you're going to make biscuits, you're going to have to go by the recipe. It's got to be done right. Now, you might take a cup and a half of flour, perhaps a third stick of butter, get you maybe a quarter teaspoon of baking powder, or maybe a little bit more, depends on how you want that to be. You're going to start working this together. Put in some buttermilk if you're going to do it my way. You're going to put some buttermilk in that. And you need maybe a little more than a quarter teaspoon of salt in that too. And you start mixing that together, but you don't want to overmix it because it's going to get tough. You see, if you mix it too much, it's not going to make good biscuits. And you got to cut that butter in there just right too. You got to get that in there first before you put that butter. You got to do it right, you see. You know what? Serving the Lord's kind of like that. You know, you can think in making biscuits if you want to. Maybe you say, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. And I think it's too much flour and not enough salt. I think perhaps that's not quite. I like salt. I really do. So I think I'm going to have a cup and a half of salt. And you're not going to have good biscuits. And you might try, I don't care how you want to adjust it. And perhaps you say, I don't think the baking powder is right. I'm going to have a half teaspoon of soda. I like soda better than that. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to put a half teaspoon of soda in a cup and a half of flour, you're going to have some really strange taste in biscuits. I don't care if you do use a lot of buttermilk in it. It's going to be kind of brown and kind of odd flavor. And I'm going to want to cook that about 450 degrees in the oven when I get this made just right. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to do it at 150. You're going to be a long time cooking. And it's not going to be very good. Now, this isn't really about a pan of biscuits. But yet, this is tonight to illustrate. We're going to have to do it God's way. I can't just do it my way. It won't work. That's right. I would like to think about some of the ingredients that we need to have. Need to have it in right proportions too. Did you know sometimes we might think that I want to have my own proportions. But I've done this before. Now, the reason why I don't take my recipe I'm giving you tonight, because it's just kind of off the top of my head. I've made biscuits before and done it a number of times. But I don't have a recipe. I just kind of do it. Because I done it a few times. The first time I did it, though, it wasn't so good. Because I was doing it with, I didn't put the right proportions in there. It doesn't turn out well. You know, if we God has some real good instructions for us, and we can ignore it if we want to. You know, there's some real good cookbooks that would give me some good information on this recipe. So I'm asking you tonight, don't take my recipe and do it. You probably ought to go get your cookbook and do it. But spiritually, as we walk with the Lord, we have a real good instruction book. And I can say, well, that's outdated, and it's really not... it's not up to date with today's needs. I want to tell you, it's real up to date. Everyone who follows the instructions in the Scripture and is hungry and thirsty after righteousness, I want to tell you, there's a real filling, there's a real guidance, there's something that the Lord has for you in life. And if we follow it, we will reap the joys of salvation, the happiness of life. And if you don't, if we don't, there's another reaping that comes along, and I want to tell you, it's not good. The blessings of the Lord is what makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. But I want to tell you, the way of the transgressor, it's hard. It's not good. I want to encourage you tonight. Now, talking about some of these ingredients, I want to think about over here in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and the 6th verse, see if this doesn't fit pretty good in our recipe of serving the Lord and being happy. Being successful in a walk with the Lord. Now, if we go to the pantry here, going to look and see what the Lord has for us. Let's think a little bit different before we get there. This crossed my mind and thought, you know, y'all like chocolate. But does it go good in the biscuit recipe? No, don't. It doesn't go very well. Everything in its place. I want to tell you, there's places, real good places for chocolate to be put in a recipe, but not in the biscuits. There's a time and a way. There's times that God has. There's an order that He has. And that's what God wants us to learn, how to submit ourselves unto His ways. All right. Now let's go ahead and look at this ingredient we find here in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy in the 6th verse. But godliness with contentment. I want to stop on that word contentment for just a little bit. Did you know, I think that's very, very valuable, especially in the world we live in today, that we learn to be contented. The uncontented person is always looking for something else. That will not be good in your walk with the Lord, except if you're hungering after more, say, more of the Lord. And that's okay, but we're talking about a carnal place where we're not satisfied. Now, we have a song in our songbook says, I am satisfied. Satisfied in Jesus keeping, He's my choice forevermore. That's a good way to be satisfied. I'm contented. I'm satisfied. He's never done me wrong. I have made my choice. Now, God wants us all to come to that place where there's no other force trying to vying for His love in our heart. There's no other another force that I am willing to give my attention to. When we get married, we have some vows. That's right. And God does not want us to violate those vows. Neither does He want us to somehow let our love go out to something other than Him in our walk with the Lord. You see, there's other things that would like to lead us down a path of carnality, down a path of that would not yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. But godliness with contentment. I want to tell you, contentment is a very, very, very good thing. I'm satisfied. I'm not hunting for anything else. I'm not looking. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Doesn't that speak of a decision that's been made and a satisfied, I'm not going anywhere else. God wants us this evening to make those type of commitments to Him. That no matter what comes in my future, I'm staying here. Now, let me illustrate this just a little bit. When I first got married, I was so happy. Oh, I tell you what, I got the wife of my dreams. She, oh, precious and wonderful. And she's still that. You thought I was going to say things changed, didn't you? Let me tell you, between that and the next 33 years, there's been life that's had to happen. And some days wasn't quite as rosy as the others. Isn't that normal? I don't care what you do. There's some days as we walk with the Lord, there's going to be some days that we just feel, it's just fantastic. We come to services and everything is, and there's going to be other days, even as a minister of the gospel, there's going to be other days you come to Sunday morning service and you're saying, Lord, I sure need some inspiration because I feel flat today. You too, Brother Carl? I think all of us have. We're humans. Did you know the Lord wants to keep us through that time? He wants us to be steadfast and satisfied when the days aren't so rosy. He wants us to be dedicated with no wavering in our decision. When I told my wife, until death do us part, that's exactly what I meant. Still what I mean. I want to tell you what, the Lord has blessed that. And the Lord bless you. And along with that, tending to my walk with the Lord or a marriage, there's days that you purpose that goes beyond the feelings of the day. That I intend to stay here and I intend to go through. And I realize the devil is trying to somehow discourage or try to put something else in my way. But I've decided today to be contented. That's something that the Lord has grace for you and I, where we walk in our shoe leather every day. There's going to be times it doesn't feel that good, but I want to tell you, God has grace. And as you follow on to know the Lord and go through those places in life, there is great victories. And you look over the past. As the songwriter said, now I can see far down the mountain. I can see where you brought me to. And you're happy in your soul and you're satisfied. I want to tell you tonight, I got saved in 1979. And it's better tonight than what it was the night that I got saved. And I want to tell you, that was special. That was special. But I've got some experience. I've got some track record that the Lord has brought me through. I've got some things that a faith that's stronger than what it was that night. Because I've got some experiences that the Lord has given me. Same thing with my marriage. There's a strength. There's something that the Lord develops in you and I. But it's not going to be developed unless I'm willing to be contented. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's something that the Lord has for every one of us. And I want to tell you that the devil would like to, in those days where things aren't going so easy, he would like to offer you, let me say it right, he would like to offer us an alternative that seems to be full of glitter. That seems to be so attractive. He would like to give us something else. I'm going to tell you, the devil is always there to try to give you something exciting. But that way is hard. I don't care how exciting it might be for the moment. What was it Moses' determination was? His dedication to it. He said he would rather to suffer with the children of God. Afflictions with the children of the Lord. Then the pleasures. That's down there in Egypt. Now God wants you and I again. This is not, don't get me wrong. This is not a way of, oh, the Lord saved me and I'm so hemmed in. I want to tell you this narrow way is a very liberating way for the soul. Oh yes, the flesh is going to be finding it hard. But the flesh should be crucified.
The flesh, God wants us to submit that to the cross. Daily. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That means that we take the flesh, that part that would lust after the things of this world and war against the soul, that part of us, we take that and submit that intentionally by the grace of God, praying and asking, Lord, Lord, this is something I'm struggling with this morning. Again, this is going to be part of the ingredients we want to talk about, is communication. But as I'm talking with the Lord this morning, Lord, I'm dealing with this issue. It's in me. And Lord, I really want to have victory. And today, by your grace, I put it down. I mortify the deeds of this body. Lord, I want some victories right here because I want to go free. I want to fly. I want to be able to leap upon the mountains. I want to be able to rejoice when the saints all rejoice in the Lord. I too can rejoice. You see, that's what I want. I'm striving for the mark. That's what God wants us to do. He's interested in us looking for that mark and striving for it, unwilling to be deterred. Well, the good Lord is interested in helping us. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I want to think a little bit more. I feel a little bit ill prepared for tonight, but ask the Lord to help us. I want to think about over here in Acts, the 17th chapter. This depicts kind of some of the characteristics that we find in the world today. It was back there, Acts 17 and 21st verse. Talks about some Athenians. It says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Something new. You know, this time of the year, a lot of people get gifts. A lot of children get something new. And for a little while, it's a little exciting. And within a few short months, the BB gun is new. Is leaning up against a tree in a rainstorm and getting rusty. And you know how mom and daddy feels like when maybe they spent some time trying to really get some money together that my child is really going to enjoy this, and then they don't care about it very much? You kind of don't feel too good, do you, when you see, perhaps you've given a gift to somebody else and you thought they're really going to like this, and then you find out that they really could care less about it. You feel a little, I kind of wish I wouldn't have done that. Sometimes I wonder how the Lord feels after He's done so much for you and I. And it seems like the new wore off. I want to ask you, how are you tonight in your soul? Does it still mean something to you? Is there still something stirring? Is there still something working down inside? Or you just kind of fallen into a routine and you really could take it or leave it? I want to tell you, God's got more for us than that tonight. There's some joy in the Lord. Yes, I will. I'm willing to admit that there's going to be some times in life it's not easy. There's going to be some routine. But you continue. One of the things that I really have enjoyed in my marriage, there's some times that my wife and I, we talk. Maybe you think that's so mundane, but no, I want to tell you what, it's special. We're companions.
I don't know how. It's special. It's wonderful. There's something really wonderful about being able to just open up your heart and talk with each other. That's important. I want to tell you, that's one of those ingredients that we need to communion, communication. But communion with the Father. But communication is one of the great things that we need to put into this recipe. And you need to put a good helping of that in there. It's a whole lot easier to understand one another when you've been talking. Have you ever felt like that your wife ever, you men in here, have you ever felt like that your wife, she said, "What do you think? You think I'm supposed to be a mind reader?" You know what that's really saying? You haven't been talking to her enough. You haven't been sharing. Now, you don't start off in a marriage full grown. You do some learning. So that's part of what I'm bringing out here tonight. As we start to walk with the Lord, these ingredients is what we need to learn to mix into our life. Lord, I want to commune with you. So I would encourage every one of us to be carry on communion with the Lord throughout the day. And I don't know what your pattern of life is going to be. I want to tell you, though, I'd encourage you to start off your day with looking toward the Lord. I just encourage you to do that. It's a good way to purpose. As I begin this day, I purpose to go through with the Lord today. And I've done that many times. Got up and said, "Lord, I feel like I've gotten up a little bit late and I feel pressed already. And I don't hardly, I feel behind, but Lord, I want to take some time. Because I feel agitated in my soul." I don't know, maybe none of you in here are type A personality like I am, but I get this just agitated feeling. And I've got to use this type of a message to say, be contented, settle down. It's what the Lord wants to develop in us. Our personalities are all going to be different. And God didn't come to just totally remake your personality, but He did come to mature your personality and adjust on that. So be willing to allow. Let me illustrate that some. Do you, the personality of Peter? He seems like he's a very impetuous. He was willing to just jump out there and grab a hold and say some things sometimes that, and the Lord had to shape him a little, had to temper. That's a word I was really trying to get a while. Lord wants to temper our personalities, not totally change it. And you don't see Peter, he wasn't the one leaning on Jesus' breast, but there was a John who was leaning on different personalities, but the Lord worked with both of them. And He took their personalities and He tempered them and purified and sanctified them that they could be meat for the Master's use. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and I. But He can't do it well if we don't commune with Him. It's part of our job to commune with the Lord. So the Lord wants us to learn some of these ingredients, some of this prayer. That's what we call it, isn't it? Communion. I said it differently because we're used to the word praying. But I want us to think about us actually entering into a place of communing with the Lord. It's more than just said words. There's a place of actually getting in there where we have this communion. And our soul is fed and we're enlivened. I want to encourage you this evening. Start putting this in to the ingredients of our life. All right. I want to think about Matthew, the 22nd chapter. What's the most important? Matthew 22. And we have a verse here in the 37th verse where Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment. Here again, another ingredient another ingredient. I don't want to diminish that. This is of utmost importance. A marriage will not work, nor will your walk with the Lord work if we do not have this ingredient. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord." Thou shalt love the Lord. I just want to stop right there and hope that it's driven home in our minds that thou shalt love the Lord. Did you know you have a choice in that matter? Love in this case doesn't always mean just a great, wonderful, fuzzy feeling. But it is a decision. Lord, today I love you. And there's going to be some times in your marriages you're going to have to maintain that decision. I love you. Turn to your wife and tell her I love you. Tell her that. And tell God that. Tell Him. Lord, right now I don't understand a whole lot. I'm just feeling... The disciples heard some hard sayings one time, didn't they? And they were inclined to... I don't understand this one. And number of people standing around listening, they said, "Oh, that's too far. That's too much." And they walked away. But there were some others that were closer right there, and they had heard him long enough. They said, And Jesus looked at them and said, "Oh, you too? Will you also go away?" And I imagine at that time they didn't understand any more than the others who walked away, or very little more. But they didn't understand this. Peter said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life. I don't know where else to go. And I have decided I'm not going. I don't understand. And Lord, this morning I don't understand exactly what all is going on. I feel pressed out of measure today. But I have purposed in my heart, I want you to know, this morning, I want you to know I love you. And I want to be your child. And I want to walk this day that way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. I want this day. I'm satisfied. I'm contented. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm not leaving. I don't understand." Do you know that those days happen? We don't always understand exactly what's going on at that moment. Maybe later on you do, and sometimes maybe later on you don't, but you commit it still to the Lord. These are ingredients that makes a happy, successful walk with the Lord. It also is a blessing to our homes and our children and our marriages. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and all thy mind." Everything that you have, everything I can give Him, I give Him. There is no reserve. I am not interested in holding anything back. If you want to, I don't understand where you're going with this, but I am willing to lay down myself, and I'm following you today, Lord. Now, the second commandment is very much like that. But it has to do with our love and how we deal with our fellow men. You know, if we have the love of God in our heart, we're not going to treat our fellow man in a bad way. There are reasons sometimes where we come together in services like this, and sometimes our home congregations. Have you ever went out on the job, some of you men or maybe others who have had to deal with the public, and sometimes you get people that's just incorrigible, very difficult to deal with, and you feel the abrasion of the world as you go through the week. And then come Sunday, and you come in and you can feel the relaxation. Thank you, Lord. And then the tendering of the very effects of we come together and we sing these wonderful songs. Did you know, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together. Put that ingredient in there too.
When we neglect that and don't come together, we run the risk at least of becoming hardened in our heart because of all the abrasion of all what we live around. Jesus said, before he was getting ready, to leave, and he prayed, I prayed for, Lord, that you not take them out of the world, but that you'll keep them. And in doing so, the way he wants to keep us is for us to be willing to stay in his hand. We're going to have to be satisfied, be contented, intend to be there with him. Now, there's all kinds of things that would like to lead us aside and try to somehow make us be discontented. But God is interested in us staying right there with purpose of heart. Now, if a mother starts getting discontented, or if a husband starts getting discontented, but I want to focus on a mother, and here these children are 2-year-old is getting into something all the time, and they're crying and they're not obeying. You ever heard of the terrible twos? That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be bad, because it's a wonderful thing raising children, but it's a job. And it's one that the Lord can give you great joy in doing. But in the midst of all that, sometimes the snotty nose and everything going wrong and the burnt supper and every... You women, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes things just don't always go right. And if the love in your heart isn't tender, you're going to be more apt to be cross and very difficult. Not just with him when he comes in the door and says, "What's happened to supper?" But you're liable to be difficult with the children. So this admonition that says love, 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 this ingredient must be purposefully used in our life. And allow it to begin its tendering effect in our hearts. And teaching effect. Causing me to act toward you in the way that God would have me to act. Now, if in a congregation people start rubbing each other wrong, and I guess that probably doesn't ever happen anywhere, does it? I will tell you it does. Because our lives get thrust closer together. And the devil will do everything he can to take advantage of all he can to drive wedges between people, to drive people apart. But we're talking tonight about a successful walk with the Lord, a happy walk with the Lord, happy marriages, the ingredients that it takes. And I want to tell you right here, when we start feeling these rubs and irritations between each other, that's a real good time to allow the Lord to develop a deeper love in our heart and purpose in our heart to let him do it. Lord, help me. I'm having some feelings. Have you ever prayed that way? I have. And I hope that all of us pray that way. Because God wants to help us get over some things. Have some victories. That these things not fester down up underneath. God, He has a place for all of us to rise above the flesh. Oh, there's so many ingredients here, but this is one of the greatest ingredient that the Lord has for us, love. Love God first, completely and foremost. And then he says, look at your brother that's right now is irritating you badly. And purpose in your heart to love. And pray for him. Say, Lord, help him to get the victory. Bless my brother.
do battle against the flesh. Purpose in our heart tonight. Don't let the devil get advantage of us in these areas. We want to be successful. We want to have victory that the world looking on, not that thou see people that are just always so fake with a fake smile on their face. That's not what we're talking about, but something real that walks in shoe leather, that's dealing with life, dealing with hard places in life, and being able to come out the other side and have victory. Has God changed over the years since He was able to help Paul and Silas sing victory at midnight? Has God changed since then? Who was able to help Paul and Silas after they had been beaten to come out of there and be willing to baptize some of those that had been so rough with them? Oh, what great victory that would have been. I imagine they had some of the greatest joy that night. You see, they weren't carrying bitterness. When the man came in, he looked out there and saw the man getting ready to kill himself. Silas didn't say, "Shh, Brother Paul, don't tell him. Wait till he falls on that sword." That wasn't in their heart. Their heart said, "No, brother, don't do that. We're still here and you can lock us up if you need to." But the man said, "God's been dealing with me. What is this God that deals like this? I want to know Him." Did you know God wants to show Himself to others? And He wants to use you. He wants to give you and I the victories that we need in the everyday efforts of life. In the places where life is difficult to work with. The Lord wants you and I to get victories there that the world can look and say, "I want some of that. Tell me again about that, God." You know, sometimes people look on and say, "Well, y'all are these holiness people. I never did meet. I think we're all sinners more or less every day." But I'm watching how you're dealing with the problems of life, and I'm not getting by so well. And tell me again about your God. That's what the Lord wants. And no, it's not at that time for us to stand up and say, "Well, I just buckle down and just do it. I'm just strong." No, we say, by the grace of God, there's a God who's loved me so much to elevate me above the life of sin, and I thank Him from the depths of my heart. And yes, I have to struggle against the flesh, but He has grace. And we can tell our neighbors, but the greatest way to tell our neighbors is to show our neighbors. What a beautiful marriage is like. What a beautiful Christian life is like. And it's expressed through this right here, these two, the greatest commandments. Love God supremely. No holding back. And love your neighbor as yourself. I kind of don't like that qualification, but Jesus said that, so I don't mean to discount that at all. But when it's, sometimes you say, "Well, I don't love myself very much," but most of us, we deal pretty kindly with ourselves. So He used that. But I want the effect of pure love for our neighbor would cause us to walk 2 miles. Would cause us to be willing to give up ourselves. Because I'm interested in Him making heaven. David said, "Lord, You cause men to ride over me." God does that sometimes. How do you feel? The Lord has grace. The Lord has power, has ability to help you and I go through those things in a right, in a godly way. There's more ingredients, and I want you to, you can search them out. The time's gone. But I want to encourage us to put these things in our life. There was another scripture. But all the ingredients that would that would promote godliness in our life. All those things that look like our Heavenly Father, attend to those. Put it into our lives. And let it flow out in all godliness and righteousness that the world may see. The world needs it. Pray for me. I want to serve Him also.